Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Little angst, little anxiety in the real estate markets across this country these days. Mortgage rates seem to be creeping up. Shifts in expectations based on what the Federal Reserve is talking about. It pushed rates back towards 7%, a level that hasn't been reached since December. And Alex Elizage over at United Wholesale Mortgage says, when you start to cross whole numbers, psychologically, people get a little nervous, adding to that angst and anxiety. And here to talk to us about it, Arthur Sturbkow, local real estate analyst, visited a real estate conference here recently with big brokers from around the country. And Arthur, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Newell. Glad to be back.
Arthur, fair comments about the industry right now?
Oh, yeah, more than fair. You could probably spend about a six-hour radio program on what's going to happen next. So it's still very much an issue that's in flux. Even though there was a settlement with the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, and some plaintiffs in Missouri, the Department of Justice recently was able to have a court ruling in their favor. Previously, they had reached a settlement with NAR, and NAR was trying to say that, hey, you know, we reached a settlement. You can't come after us over these issues anymore. Well, the DOJ went to an appellate court, and the appellate court says, well, yes, they can. So now the DOJ is in a very, very prominent position to weigh in on this proposed settlement, which the judge still has to approve, which will probably happen in May. So so it's pretty clear in my mind the DOJ is pretty much hell-bent to get the commission rates crushed down dramatically. So whether that will stand the test of the marketplace, that's a different question. But certainly they are very, very much pushing towards a model where the commission rates come down. And, you know, in today's world, you know, I'm a realtor, but it does make some sense. As a very rough example, right now, you know, if you go into multiple listing service, you know, the commission to the selling broker that the listing broker is offering is posted for the selling broker to see. But the buyer doesn't see that. And if the buyer did see that, you know, the DOJ is saying that, hey, they might have a different commission structure, maybe not as high if the buyer had to pay their own commission and seller wasn't allowed to offer a commission to the buyer's broker. Right now, the seller is legally allowed to reimburse the buyer for their buyer broker fee. That can be financed as long as the seller is paying for it as part of a seller concession, just like paying for a roof repair or a termite certificate or something like that. That's normal. That's expected. up to a limit. Obviously, they're not going to say, hey, on his $200,000 house, we're going to let the seller, you know, finance $300,000 and sell a concession.
Right.
It has to appraise. It has to be realistic. And that's where the devil's in the details. There's another group in town this weekend, believe it or not, besides the large brokers, ARELA, the Association of Real Estate Law Officials. And that's basically the governing bodies of real estate commissions across the country. So they have an annual conference, a mid-year conference, and they happen to have it in New Orleans now. It's ongoing. I believe today's the last day. And that is one of the top topics of the real estate license law officials is, what do we do? How do we change our rules, regulations, our agency laws in all of our states? So the whole industry is in flux. The Louisiana Realtors Association is having meetings and town halls to try to discuss where the current situations are. No one has a clear field of vision, though. Different brokers now are clearly trying different business models in different markets to see if they can compete in the market and still remain in business. So because their infrastructure is very significant in these brokerage operations, they're not inexpensive to operate. So we'll have to see. But right now it appears that some brokers are having some real head scratching.
I got to imagine that this means consolidation, right? Anytime that you have infrastructure costs like that, you need to spread those costs across more consumers, more agents. We just recently learned that Latter & Blum sold out to Compass, is it? My memory serves me correct.
Yeah.
Out of New York. Big company. Latter & Blum, iconic real estate agency here. Been around since I think I've been a kid.
It's interesting because Compass is a public company, but one of its biggest holders is a Saudi company. So there are some entities that would like to get into the U.S. housing market, and are putting some pretty big steps to get that accomplished. So we've got China trying to get our farmland. We've got other foreign entities trying to get in the housing market. But these new commission rates that will probably come into effect in the next 24 months, I think it's going to take about 2 years for things to shake out before people really figure out, where the level is, what's going to work in the marketplace. You know, in England, as an example, and we talked a little bit about it last time, Bill, but in England, the commission rates range from about 1.25% all the way up to 3%. But you have to remember there, buyers get no representation whatsoever in that. You're on your own. So when you go to that estate broker is only representing the seller. There is zero representation for the buyer. Absolutely. And if you want representation on the selling side, you have to pay separately outside of the transaction. That's significant.
On the buyer side, you mean? On the buyer side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when they hear, they only pay, 3% commission in England. Well, that's true, but not really the full picture because the representation is missing on the buyer side. One of the things that's happened in our market over the last several years have been these property disclosure forms that have been promulgated by the Louisiana Real Estate Commission on residential properties. And that has really, really exposed deficiencies in properties and really given the buyers more insight into the condition of the property than they ever had before, where they were kind of naked. I don't know. Is it okay? Is it not okay? I don't know. And they also have home inspectors now that do a pretty good job of identifying problems. So, we're kind of off an old commission model where in the old days that didn't really exist. Property inspections and property disclosures 15, 20 years ago were almost unheard of. Now they're just in the norm. And added to that, the technology that allows agents to do so many more transactions than they ever did before. So we're going to see some pretty big changes, I believe.
Do you think it'll end up like, let's look at the English model, ends up closer to that, and then buyers hire third parties on a fee for service. So, if you want them to evaluate property disclosure, it could be $200. If you wanted them to evaluate more, you know, there'd be a cost for each individualized service that they would be providing you.
I think that's probably one of the business models that's going to come up for sure. You know, I think real estate commissions are going to have to further define the lines of what's real estate brokerage activities and what are consulting activities. There's gray there. There's gray. And at what point do you have to be licensed to be give consulting advice to a buyer on maybe legal language in a contract or construction advice or things like that? So, as I say, it's pretty muddy right now. The system was pretty well defined. Everyone knew their roles. They knew where things were. This is kind of just upsetting the apple cart, and all the apples are all over the ground. We don't know where to pick them up and put them anymore. So we've got to find new baskets to put these apples in.
Arthur, separate and apart from that issue, obviously there is a lot of angst and anxiety about rates, higher mortgage rates going, you know, headed north now, uncertainty as to where the Fed is going to be. They were talking about when interest rate cuts would occur. Now the language is more falling on the side of if they occurred. And I was reading a Wall Street Journal article earlier this morning that was posted today. And Bill Brewer, who's a principal broker at RE/MAX Equity Group, is quoted as saying, "This is the worst market I've seen." He said, "We don't have the tools that got us out of tight spots in the past." And I talked about this in the intro last hour leading up to you coming on. You know, it used to be we would just tweak the underwriting criteria of these loans, make it more favorable and expand who would actually qualify. You had a huge non-conforming loan portfolio across this country. Those things have kind of gone by the wayside, right?
That's right. The unknown factors for lenders, specifically more so in our market than and in any area that's really prone to insurance problems. I was talking to a broker in Rhode Island, and he was scratching his head going, "Man, our insurance is going through the roof. So what are you guys doing down there with the hurricanes? You guys are killing us up here." You know, the rates have felt all over the country. So
yeah, blame it on us again.
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry.
Forget about Hurricane Sandy right there in your backyard. That they're still paying claims.
Right. Well, I'll turn off our ceiling fans down here, and it'll all go away. I mean, Obviously, you know, it's an issue. The UNO just had an economic forum, I think, the other day, and it was really interesting that in the office market, for example, the insurance used to be about 1% of the, you know, value. Typically, you could figure as the premium. Now they're talking as high as 5%. I mean, that changes the economics of underwriting in office buildings like unbelievable. And you can't pass that to the tenants. So what does that do to the value of the real estate? Well, it's got to come down dramatically to offset that for somebody to want to step into those shoes and take over those premiums. I can't pass them to the tenants. The tenants have their own insurance issues to deal with. So it's when that fellow from RE/MAX says as bad as he's ever seen it, I won't go that far locally because the worst we ever had was during the oil bust in the 80s. That was brutal. That was absolutely brutal. This is awful, but not brutal. I do think it's going to tend to balance out. I looked today and I went, wow, this is kind of a telling thing. And, you know, there have been 124 new listings that came into the MLS in the last 24 hours. But there's been 105 price decreases in the last 24 hours. That's kind of a dramatic change. So we're seeing listings coming on the market, but the existing listings changing their pricing, cutting it down a little bit. That's a bit unusual. Still selling homes. But certainly we're seeing some price reductions to attract some buyers.
Yeah, we have a piece of property, the family, that's been for sale, I think, north of 18 months now. One ridiculous offer. You know, it's a piece of property in great shape. I mean, it's amazing what's going on. But I think also there's some angst and anxiety. There was another Wall Street Journal article that was posted about the cost of owning a home is skyrocketing. Separate and apart from the home itself, maintenance of the home because CPI's gone up, the services and the products necessary to improve your home, to just do the day-to-day maintenance, that amount is going up. The average cost, they said, of maintenance of homes now is somewhere around $6,600 a year. That's over and above increase in insurance, as you know well about that, flood insurance. And then you add to that the rising property taxes and utility rates. There's nothing on the downside on this balance sheet. It's all on the uptick.
No, it was such a positive conversation here, Newell, but you're right.
Yep.
You know, those kind of numbers were never factored into the underwriting when they did their qualifying ratios for a loan. So those lenders are now having to go back and go, wait a minute, that, you know, the cost to repaint something is a lot more than what it would have been before. A new roof is going to be a lot more than before. So what do you have in reserves to cover these things? So, yeah, we're certainly going to see, I think, some pressure on sales prices. People need shelter, though. That's not going to go away. And I do see people still buying homes, but they're not going to buy as big a house as maybe they could have when interest rates were 2 or 3% and insurance rates were maybe, you know, 1% of the premium of the value of the house each year. That's kind of going away. On the rental side, absolutely, I'm seeing many more renters. First-time home buyers are down about 17% from what we would normally expect. Normally 32 to 33% is down about 21, 22%. So they're moving into rentals or moving in with parents or just, you know, sharing spaces with somebody else simply because of the affordability aspect of it, the upfront cost and the continuing cost of owning a home today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it really creates pause, right? And you reflect upon, okay, how many dollars are leaving me that I don't really get an immediate return on? I mean, I get the sense of the greater good of, you know, property taxes, all of this, all of the infrastructure, but you don't feel it, right? Sometimes.
Well, you're right. When you pay those insurance premiums every year and you don't have a claim, that money's gone. It's not like they put it in a savings bank for you for next year. It's gone. Property taxes, that's gone this year. There's a whole new set of taxes the following year. So those are continuing ongoing expenses that folks are just frankly having to deal with. But we've always had to deal with them. It's just the inflationary effect on these expenses is what's really causing the pain. The salaries just have not kept pace with these expenses. That's the underlying problem. There's just been a lot of funny money, you know, introduced into the economy from the government. And it's run up the people had a lot of money to play with, and they did run up the prices. And now we're going to see some of that start to come back to bite us.
Arthur, let's talk about commercial property for a moment. We're hearing nightmarish stories, whether it's in San Francisco, Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore. Downtowns are dying. I think we have some things that work in our favor, being a tourism and hospitality industry city. But where do you see this commercial property issue unfolding here in New Orleans?
Well, in the suburbs, it's doing fine. I mean, there's the North Shore is, if they're not at 100% office occupancy, they're darn close to it. That's not a problem. We're all seeing out migration from the Central Business District, from Orleans, and it's not because it isn't a great place to live and work and everything else. It's an issue of safety. There's a perception that it's dangerous if you work downtown. Whether it's reality or not, that's the perception. And it's a serious issue. One of the buildings downtown is about 50% occupancy, sold at, at a price I never thought. You couldn't even come close to building four of the 20 stories at that price. It was crazy. So clearly.
Do you see more? Do you see more of that?
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
More that like that going to happen? I mean, we were talking about the DXC technology building. I think it sold for, what, $18 million. I don't know that you could build a parking garage and two or three floors for that amount of money. That was just over half a million square feet, about 535,000 square feet, if my memory serves me correct, and a lot of parking.
Well, if you go back and look, I just remember this kind of funny story. The Plaza Towers, if you remember, 28 stories or whatever the stories it was, with all the problems it had with mold and things like that, you know, it sold for $1 million years ago. Mm-hmm. And we had an appraisal firm who did an appraisal on it, and they appraised it for $1. $1. And they said the cost to mitigate it and tear it down and remove it, it was worth nothing.
But they had greater than the value of the land.
It was exactly. The land didn't even cover the cost of it. So it was that's why it's still sitting there today. It's just not cost effective for somebody to just tear the sucker down. So unless government does it and then, you know, pass that on to taxpayers, that's going to sit there for a while. I don't see a way to make those numbers work, certainly not today's economy.
So do we find ourselves where we would be better suited if we took about a half a million or three quarters of a million square feet of office space off the market somehow? And would that help?
Well, I think that's kind of happening already. It has been happening. A lot of these office buildings have been slowly converted to hotels over time over the past few years. And that has taken pretty a significant amount of what you call B and C space off the market. And that's a good thing. It's helped to keep the occupancy rates in some of the A buildings and some of the other B buildings. But still, you know, we're still vulnerable to tourism. And the perception of crime is still a very significant issue, even on the hospitality industry. I mean, that if I had to pick one thing that has to get fixed, it has to be our perception of crime. And we're not the only city. I mean, you go to San Francisco. No. New York. I mean, it's an urban problem in every major city. The homeless, it was a sad thing for a lot of the folks from Arello and other state brokers when they were coming down off the interstate, and they're going past all these homeless people in tents and just trash mounds up. I mean, that's not the image you want hospitality folks coming to the convention center to see. It's just not inviting.
I say this all the time. Human nature is the first impression is the lasting impression. And when they come off that interstate and that's what they land in, that's what they're going to talk about the rest of their visit and when they leave. And I don't know why. Figure that out.
No, when I used to teach agents that when they were going out to get listings, I said the first thing you do is you tell that owner to paint his front door. If they see that paint door is worn and beat up, they figure the rest of the house is just as bad. And so that's your front door. That's what they are going to look. They're going to keep driving past the house if that thing looks rotten from the front, no matter what you've done on the inside. So, we have to, our first impression has to be a good one.
Absolutely. Pretty ourselves up. Arthur Sturbkow, thank you so much for joining us. Local real estate analysts, always enjoy the conversation with you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Neil. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Stay with us.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. Obviously, recently reported an incident at Wits End, an absolute horrific event, tragic, obviously. The security guard there was killed in trying to prevent an individual from entering the bar who was, in fact, armed. And here to talk to us about that is Thomas Ecker, president of the Mid-City Neighborhood Organization. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you. We've got to stop meeting like this, Noel.
Yeah, I agree. Thomas, the mayor put out a press release, and appropriately addressed the tragedy and the horrific nature of this event. One of the things that was said in the release was that last month the city initiated a collaborative inspection at the Wits End led by NOPD, NOFD, Safety and Permits, the Office of Alcohol and Tobacco Control, the Health Department, and the Law Department. And at the time, there were no documented violations that warranted pursuing enforcement actions, and there was no basis in law to justify any further action. She went on to say that the owner of the Wits End has made every effort to keep his staff and patrons safe. Is there a disconnect here? Am I missing something?
Well, I hope not. But if there is, I'm sure there is some government watchdog agency that could review all of this and then put light to anything. But I can't speak about what city agencies have or have not done or how it was or was not received. We just have to take, as far as I'm aware, their word on it. And the people who are working on this and have a focus on this, I'm sure they would do their due diligence and call out to task the people who will need to continue putting a focus on the situation or reviewing the decisions made prior.
So I'm sure that you have gone eyes on to what goes on out there on weekends and late nights, correct?
Yes. I live very near it.
Describe what you see.
It's an atmosphere of little entertainment corridor, as what I'm just calling it now. You do see people, and it has always been some neighborhood respite, if you will, late night bars, people congregating, restaurants, the whole nine. But the amount of people hanging out increased. The disregard for public safety increased. Then the reports of people who feel unsafe after being harassed, after not being allowed to drive down the streets because we're blocked off, after reporting drag racing, after seeing or hearing about fights. This is all new. This is not something that this area has known. This is something that's become a thing. And so I think the difference would be what exactly constitutes a good time and safety and what the responsibility is between the owner of a business and what happens outside of that business. And that's a dance. And I personally don't have the ability to waltz to its cadence, at least not perfunctory. So I can review and tell you what I see. Critics always critique, but they never create. So in this case, the best I can tell you is I've been seeing escalating issues happening with the area, the noise, the problematic repercussions. Down my street, there was a drunken hit and run because I live up down the street. It's an easy way to drive up the street without being seen by police that came from those bars. I mean, it is affecting people. in ways that I hadn't seen before. And I've been living in this area for a very long time.
I agree with you. I mean, there's a delicate balance, right, of what the owner of the VAR can actually control outside of, you know, his establishment. Obviously, sometimes you become a victim of your own success if you're a hot place where people want to go and congregate, and then the numbers increase to such a level that it's no longer they accommodate.
Everybody has fond memories of Kenny's Key West. Same thing. Yeah. They got shut down, but, yeah, you know, it was a fun spot, but it got unruly. And then, but, you remember, people.
I'm glad you brought that up because.
Yeah, go on.
This is a disconnect, I guess, I was talking about, because, you know, we're focusing on wits, but the reality is that the focus needs to be more on the area, and that's how we approach the situation with Kenny's Key West and a number of other establishments that we ended up shutting down because it became too difficult, the amount of damage to the general area there, too disruptive. And there was no upside to the situation. And, you know, the Wits Inn owner is the beneficiary of a lot of what's going on outdoors. And no one can deny that. And it's just a question of what are you going to do to enforce? So I read that statement because I always kind of found it interesting, because the disconnect for me is that it's not inside the bar that where the issue is. It's outside the bar. And that's on public property. And that just means that you need to get more intrusive on the outside, not the inside.
Well, I mean, and I can understand both sides of the coin. As a business owner, you can't control your patrons. This is a free society. But at the same token, does this little neighborhood stretch need French Quarter level policing? I hope not. But things have derailed. And the public response to the good times had in that little small corridor has been one of increasing lawlessness. Now, I understand that part of letting loose and letting your hair down, so to speak, is a sense of a breakaway from social norms. And that's to be expected. But this is going beyond that. And so I don't have the answers to this. I really wish it was different. I really wish it didn't turn to tragedy, and I hope there won't be another one. But if you can't pretend you couldn't read the tea leaves when a local business got threatened and then the police themselves got threatened recently. And so if there is a sense of my good time is more valuable than the sanctity of the setting in which I'm having a good time, that's a balance that people are going to have to figure out how to equate and solve. This could be a personal issue that we're going to have to address. We're going to need people to, I don't want to use the word social engineer, but I will, remind people what a good time means and our rights and responsibilities of freedoms of good times and what it means to ourselves in the long run and also the immediate environment. Because there are consequences. This person who did this recent action, he's going to have to live with the consequences for the rest of his life, and so will his family. And so will probably be the people who are harboring him, because, according to the reports, he came with people and left with people, but nobody's talking. It's people are talking about the situation, but no one's come forward, at least not that I'm aware of, because the police don't talk to me about investigation. But the responsibility on ourselves, regardless of what we're doing and how much we do our extracurricular activities to have a good time, it's still going to fall upon us. And unfortunately, the consequences may also include other people who are innocent. Mr. King was a wonderful, beautiful human being. He was an asset to the city. And whoever took him out, I hope he understands, big shoes to fill. Because in the vacancy and void of this absence of a wonderful, gravitational human being, if you met him, you would know what I'm talking about. Maybe that this person can take the moment, change their lives, say, I've experienced this, and allow me to be the catalyst for change in the future, dedicate their future to continue what Mr. King was, but also making amends for their mistakes and how they can continue in their lives. Because this person who killed Mr. King is going to have to live the rest of his life And he's going to have to, and he's still a human being that will have to live past this consequence. And I hope this translates into a decent thing for him in the long run, although it's inescapable what he did in the past.
No, I don't necessarily agree with these aspirational notions that you're talking about. I mean, unfortunately, though, there's a stain on you. There's a stain on your community. And, you know, the moment in time that an officer is threatened, that's where we cross the threshold as to whether or not this culture of noncompliance and the individual's interest is outweighing the entity's interest, the entity being the community at large. That's that delicate balance that you got to keep in check. And the only way that you can do it is aggressive intervention as it relates to that criminal conduct behavior that's going on North Carrollton. And to give you an example, I mean, you just need to go to the police stats in the 100 block of North Carrollton. In 2022, there were 33 calls. In 2023, there were 110, tripled.
Is it just the 100 block? What about the 100, 200 block?
That's just the 100 block in North Carrollton. So
I wonder what the stats are for the two.
I have no idea. I'll try and find out for you. But, I mean, you know, it's like this. There's a simple proposition here. Aggressive intervention. And the moment that they know that you mean business, that's going to disappear. And, of course, Whitson's business is going to suffer, and the other businesses will suffer. But the mainstay, you know, salt of the earth businesses in that 1 and 200 block, they're gonna do even more business.
That is worrisome. It's a balance, isn't it? But I still have faith
absolutely.
In people. I haven't lost it. So even people who are doing these derailing acts, they themselves will grow up eventually and change their mind. Maybe they'll be in a fluence for change. We don't know. I have to have faith in people, and I'm not going to let this moment stop that.
I am never critical of that. You know, you have to have hope.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm a little more cynical than others, but you know, I get it. Thomas Ecker, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend, my friend. Stay the course.
You too. You too.
All right, it's time. Thomas Ecker, president of the Mid-City Neighborhood Organization. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
On a text line, we're ignoring what is really happening, the race card. Read any thread or comments on Wits Inn. It's that it's the only black-owned business, and the white neighborhood is retaliating. Is it really about race, or is it about lawlessness? We seem to have confused the utilization of public spaces. Neutral grounds are not neutral relative to customs, laws of society. Those are not gathering places. That's not a space like a park or otherwise where you go and barbecue and have picnics and cookouts and things of that nature. That is not what a median to a six-lane roadway is. Nor was it ever. And his culture of noncompliance, that we feel like that we can do anything that we want on public property, whether that's pitch a tent, drop off a Morgan building, and start living our life in these public spaces, is upside down. It's contrary to the customs and norms of communities and societies. Yes, it's easy to fall on the race card, but this is really about what's accepted in society at large. Medians, or what we call neutral grounds, are not public parks. They've never intended to be public parks. They should never be public parks, and they should not be, without a permit, a gathering of folks on a neutral ground for the purposes of having an outdoor party. It's just simply too dangerous. Not to mention one where there's tracks for a streetcar. That's not what it's designed for. Why do we have such a difficult time recognizing some of the most simplistic notions in society today? We'll be right back. Scoot's up next. We'll check in with him. Stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
We will talk about the beginning of French Quarter Fest today. We'll talk about the death of O.J. Simpson. Are you sad? Also, Democrats want a federal marijuana legalization bill that is happening before the day we're all supposed to smoke marijuana, which I never do, but it said marijuana holiday, April the 20th. And also, the Don't Say Gay bill is making it through the legislature.
All righty, Scoot's up next. Stay tuned, folks. He's got a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.